Hello again, and welcome back to the Vox Pop, WMC's live daily afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. As reported this morning, the Boy Scouts of America appear poised to lift a long-standing ban on gay scouts and scout leaders as long as their National Executive Board meeting scheduled for next week. In a statement, BSA Director of Public Relations Darren Smith said the change, quote, would mean there would be no longer any national policy regarding sexual orientation, but that the chartered organizations that oversee and deliver scouting would accept membership and select leaders consistent with their organization's mission, principles, or religious beliefs. Smith adds that the national organization would not, under any circumstances, dictate a position to individual units, making the inclusion of gay scouts and scout leaders' decision to be made by each individual troop. Joining us on the program today is someone with a unique perspective on the issue. Chris Hayes is a lifelong resident of New York's Capital District and was once an active member of the Boy Scouts of America. He's an Eagle Scout, a Vigil Honor member of the Order of the Arrow, and has been awarded the National Distinguished Service Award. Hayes, who is gay, founded the Capital District Coalition for Inclusive Scouting in August 2000 in the wake of the Dale versus BSA decision by the U.S. Supreme Court upholding the ban on gay members. He was knocked out of the Scouts shortly thereafter. The organization has grown to become the Malta, New York-based Inclusive Scouting Network, where he and his fellow co-founders are working to drive change from within the BSA. Chris Hayes, welcome to the Vox Pop.
Thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to have you here, and my great respect for having reached the pinnacle of scouting, not only an Eagle Scout, but the Order of the Arrow, which many of our people know is as good as it gets. So you did it all.
Sure did. It was a great experience, and wouldn't trade it for a thing.
Me too. I only got to star, I think. But it wasn't that high, but I love the Boy Scouts. I thought it was a terrific experience. You can all give us a call at 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also post your comments at the bottom of today's show page on the Vox Pop section of our website, wamc.org/VoxPop. You can comment below today's Vox Pop wall post on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WAMC Radio, or you can tweet your questions and comments at WAMC Vox Pop. Okay, let me ask you this. You've formed this organization, Chris. Let's assume that they vote to say, okay, the national organization won't tell you what to do, but if you're a local organization, it's okay if you discriminate.
Our position really is we want to see a non-discrimination policy implemented nationwide, and this is definitely a step in the right direction. I think it's a great compromise between both sides of the argument, where you have maybe some more conservative churches who sponsor troops can be allowed to continue the policy, where some more liberal, I guess you could say, churches or other civic groups that sponsor troops will be allowed to allow any members they want. So it is a compromise. However, they're basically saying, we're going to allow you to discriminate. We're not going to force it on you.
I like it. That's unbelievable. To me, that's unacceptable. But, you know, this is a matter of what everybody does. When you were in the Scouts, did you realize that you were gay?
Not until I was older, say more in between the 18 and 21 years. Uh-huh. That's when I started realizing I was gay, and I pretty much kept it under wraps. Obviously, I knew about the policy, so I didn't want to get booted out.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Well, the phones are absolutely free right now. There's nobody calling. And I'm asking you to call and check in. This is a very important subject. We discussed it this morning earlier with Joe Donahue on the roundtable. And now I'm asking for you, 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You know, this is a country, Chris, which is, I think, maturing in many ways. We have an African-American president of the United States. Not only do we have him, but we reelected him, which to many of us was a great moment because it just showed that the country sort of had moved to a new plateau. In the elections this year, we saw a huge turnout in favor of diversity in our population. We have a president who I think played it safe in the beginning, but who now has made his intentions and inclinations in terms of the gay population in the United States open and saying that he was for, you know, inclusion and non-discrimination. And so it really is a maturation of the country's political will, I think, that we're seeing. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, just in my short lifetime, I guess you could say, I've seen a lot of change from when I was a kid. The attitudes were much different, even from when 10 years ago or 12 years ago, I should say, when I started your organization. The support for inclusive scouting was a lot larger than I expected. We had a protest at the local scout office, and there were hundreds of people that showed up. It was totally unexpected. And
now all five phones are ringing, so I want to get to them.
Okay.
But before we do, I want to ask you, just remind us about what that Supreme Court decision said.
In short, the Supreme Court said that the BSA is a private organization. They're allowed to set their own membership rules. So if they wanted to discriminate against gay people, it was their right.
Okay. Okay. Here we go to Nathan in Williamstown. Oh, no, we're not going to Nathan. Nathan hung up. Second time. No, he hung up again. Let's go to Paul in Chesterfield. Paul, you're on.
Hi, Alan. How are you?
Hey.
You know, this whole thing is such a big crock, and it really annoys me that gay organizations are applauding this. You know, it gets all the pressure off the back of the Boy Scouts nationally, and it does nothing for gay children or young scouts who are dealing with their sexuality. In fact, it makes their life a nightmare because it gives these smaller scouting organizations carte blanche to discriminate in any way they want to. The gentleman that you have on,
Chris,
says that he's keeping this, you know, he was basically keeping it under wraps. The psychological toll on a child who's dealing with their sexuality, who then knows, who's being taught by the organization that he looks towards that his sexuality is wrong, the psychological toll is unbelievable.
Chris?
You know, you're absolutely right. But I think what this policy does do is it provides a window of opportunity for that gay child to, if his unit is one that is not accepting, to find a unit that is. And I think what we may see with this policy is we might see a gravitation of folks who are more liberal and open towards inclusive scouting moving into different troops, and those other troops who are more conservative and want to keep that tradition of no gays in scouting, I think you'll see them eventually just disappear.
Paul, back to you.
So you're trying to tell me that an 11-year-old boy who lives in the middle of Arkansas is going to be able to go out and find a more accepting troop? I mean, that's completely unrealistic.
Okay. Well, I think we've had a back and forth on that, Paul. Thank you very much for calling.
Thank you very much.
And it was a very fine comment. Thanks, Paul. Okay, 1-800-348-2551. And now to, I think, Marta in Poughkeepsie. Okay, Marta?
Hi, Dr. Chartok. I'm interested in this subject because I'm an out gay person.
Right.
But I'd really just like to hear a little discussion about who are the pedophiles. It's not gay men. It's not lesbians. It's straight men. Those are government statistics. It's minuscule, the number of those groups that are always stereotyped as the molesters. They are so rare. It's ridiculous. It's heterosexual males.
Wait, Marta. For whatever it's worth, just for joining the conversation here, isn't it not true that the pedophiles in the church that we have seen were largely of a homosexual orientation?
That is untrue. They were straight men, heterosexual men, just because they weren't allowed to marry because they're Catholic.
No,
priests.
No. But Marta, weren't they also picking on boys?
They were picking on children of either gender. The ones we hear about that have high profile are boys, because that constantly perpetuates the stereotype that it's gay men that's sexually abused children. It's not true. Look at the government statistics.
Mm-hmm.
99% of the molesters are heterosexual males. Mm-hmm. If it's not 99, it's 95%. Then there's a little sliver of straight women. Then there's an even littler sliver of gay men. And then there's like this tiny sliver of lesbians. The main molesters are heterosexual men, whether they're in a priestly garb or a Boy Scout uniform. That's who they are, and that's government statistics. You can look them up.
Well, on a Boy Scout uniform, it's hard to believe that they would be picking on women within their Boy Scout.
I mean, I'm a woman, so yeah. I'm bringing women into the conversation. But, you know, Boy Scouts, that's like as American as apple pie. Turns out they've been molested for years, but it wasn't by the gay people in this world. It was by straight people.
Chris Hayes?
One second,
Martha. I want to let the guest have a say here.
Yeah, you know, I agree, Martha. And the Boy Scouts themselves have admitted that the policy has nothing to do with, the threat of pedophilia. They also agree that homosexuality has nothing to do with pedophilia, which makes the policy even more, absurd.
Okay, Martha, thank you. We got a lot of people on.
Thanks
to you. We got a lot of people on the phones. Appreciate it.
Yeah, bye.
1-800-348-2551. Let's go to Susan in Dutchess County. Whoa, Susan, can you do me a favor? Will you just hold on a second?
Sure.
Because Zach, the engineer, is giving me a dirty look that I didn't take the break. So just stay there. We'll be back in a few seconds.
Support for WAMC comes from St. George's School, Clifton Park, New York, hosting an open house on Saturday, February 9th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. for their all-day pre-K and after-school enrichment program, stgeorgescp.org. Transcendental, West Hurley, and Manhattan, cosmetic dentistry, including one-visit ceramic crowns and overnight porcelain veneers with Dr. Bruce J. Milner, transcendental.net. A.D. George Construction, for over 25 years, serving the Pioneer Valley's residential construction needs, remodeling, additions, and more, from design to completion, 413-256-6752. And The Linda, WAMC's performing arts studio, presenting a range of programming for the arts and community. TheLinda.org.
And we are back, and Susan, I want to thank you for waiting patiently. What do you have to say?
Just that I think the Boy Scouts and any organizations like that, it's ridiculous for them not to allow everyone because it's a place where it's a service organization. It's for everybody. You're supposed to learn life skills. You're supposed to learn tolerance, learn how to get along with each other, learn what niche is best for you, whether it's a baseball camp or woodcraft or, you know, they're supposed to be a great place for individuals who don't fit in that well to have opportunities. So it just seems like ridiculous, and that they would. It seems hypocritical, and I also think that parents need to be more involved. They can't just hand kids off, whether it's to the story hour or to the overnight camp or to the teachers. They need to know. Just like I might not want my kid to be in a group because I don't like some of the stories that I know some of those parents tell in front of their kids or something like that. It could be many reasons why you wouldn't want to put your child, or you think you have a child that's more vulnerable to certain kinds of things. You have to pay attention to that stuff. It's your job. And
well, Susan, let me stop you for a second.
Okay,
first of all,
that's enough. You know,
No. Let me just ask you a question. I certainly agree with what you're saying. My father was a member of our Boy Scout troop committee. You know, he used to come and find out what was going on and all the rest of it. And you're absolutely right about that. But I do want to ask you this. We had a guy call this morning, perhaps you were listening. And the guy said, gays should not be allowed into the Boy Scouts because it was a quote sin. Now, that was his moral position. It's a sin. The quotation of Leviticus and all the rest of it. Now, I certainly don't agree with that. Nevertheless, if a church is sponsoring a Boy Scout troop and it is part of their conviction that, you know, this is a sin, should they not be allowed to continue that way?
I don't think it should be formally endorsed that they continue that way. If there's a tendency for one troop to be a little bit more Catholic and one troop to be a little more Jewish because that's the neighborhood or that's the leaders and that's who they've attracted, then I certainly think that that's just natural representation of what's around and what people are comfortable with. But if it goes beyond that in any way, then I think that's wrong because you have to stand for something. When you're the leader, you're bearing witness for what goes on everywhere. You have to be an example, even if it sometimes might be awkward.
Okay, all right. Susan, let's go to Chris. Chris?
Yeah, you know, parents definitely need to be involved. My father was a scoutmaster for a time when I was in scouts, and I think that that is, you know, it was a great experience that my father and I got to do together. and it was tough. You know, a lot of the parents kind of saw us as a babysitting service.
Yeah.
They would drop their kids off, and, you know, they trusted us to take care of them for that hour or the weekend trips that we went on. But, you know, they definitely need to have a part in it. It's very hard for a boy to become an Eagle Scout without his parents being involved, because they really need to be there to support him.
Yeah. Okay, Susan, there are five people lined up. We thank you for your call. Appreciate it. Okay, let's go to Nathan. Finally, Nathan gets in here. Williamstown. Hey, Nathan, you're on.
Yeah, sorry, it's Mason with an N, like the Mason-Dixon line. But great to be on, and thank you, Alan. I love your show. I listen to it daily. And, yeah, I agree with basically the callers ahead of me. And I just want to say, as myself, as a 24-year-old gay man, that I also think it's a generational issue, and it's a sign of the times, you know, that, you know, ideology is changing. I mean, basically, you know, the way I look at it is that the institution of the Boy Scouts, you know, it's just reflecting the change of society and how we're evolving as a culture. You know, Thomas Jefferson, I'm just going to paraphrase, you know, he has a quote in his memorial in Washington, D.C., that an institution has to grow as with society, because, you know, if a man was to wear his trousers as a boy, you know, they obviously wouldn't fit.
That from a guy who owned more than 100 slaves.
That's true. I'm just trying to tie it in and how an institution has to reflect, you know, the evolution of society. And I think, you know, both Chris and I, you know, we come from a generation that views homosexuality very differently than, you know, previous generations.
Yeah, I say thank God for that, Nathan, and you're absolutely right. I think Chris will agree with that, that my kids certainly did not look at gay folks the way that my generation, not me, but my generation looked at it. Chris, what do you think?
Oh, yeah, I completely agree. You know, you just can't say everyone over this age doesn't like gay people. There are definitely, but there's definitely a big difference in when you look at the whole group of people, how many are now more supportive, especially now that New York State passed marriage equality. I think that's been a catalyst for a lot of gay rights things that have come down the pipeline the last year or so.
Well, thank you very much, Nathan. Appreciate your call. Let's go to Tom in Kingston. Tom in Kingston, you're on.
Hi, Adam and Chris. This is Tom. I'm an old Boy Scout, 67-year-old, from India.
Hmm.
I have been a supporter of Boy Scout all these years. I had my, you know, kids go to Cub Scout. But in the mid-80s, I quit supporting Boy Scout for the fact that it discriminated against gays. I stopped supporting them. I did not give them money. I wrote at least two letters to the editors in Kingston newspaper talking about this. So I am so happy to see that they are coming to their senses.
Tom, thank you very much for joining us. Appreciate it. Okay, and let's go to James in Amherst, Massachusetts. James, you're on. Love to hear from Amherst.
Hi. I'm calling to the. I thought it was very interesting that they're letting each troop decide whether to let in gay people. Because I myself am in an Eagle Scout, and my father was the scoutmaster when I was in that troop, and my father was also a pastor of my church, who were in the United Church of Christ, and they let us vote as churches to whether we're going to let gay people in our church or not. So I thought that was an interesting connection. I think it's step in the right direction, even though it's not perfect.
Well, James, thanks for your contribution. Did you want to say anything, Chris, about that?
No. I think he summed it up pretty well.
You did. Thank you, James. Okay. Let's go to another Amherst listener. Amherst, is it Cleish?
Yep, it is.
Okay. Go ahead, Cleish. You're on.
Hi. So I just wanted to say this is great. Our troop just lost its sponsorship because the church that we were affiliated with for 95 years closed. And we found it difficult to find a new sponsor because it's a very progressive area. And the churches and civic organizations did not want to sponsor the Boy Scouts if they were acting in a discriminatory fashion. So I see this as a huge plus. And I disagree with people who are saying, oh, we need more faster. You know, it's a big step, and I think it's fantastic.
Yeah. Well, do you think that there's something on the other side about basically saying to some organizations you could continue to discriminate?
Well, I don't think anybody who's progressive or thoughtful thinks that that's great, but I think that it is really a step, and it lets the Boy Scouts in some way at least do the right thing for, you know, a portion of their chapters, and I think many of their chapters, and hopefully over time that'll shift. I don't like it, but I think you never want to throw the baby out with the bathwater, and this is huge and wonderful.
Do I understand you're a scout leader yourself?
I am a mom of a new scout. He joined last June, so I'm just getting to find out how much it entails, but we find it to be a wonderful organization. We love the local organizers. We love the local boys. There are gay boys in our troop, and in Amherst, we actually came out years ago saying that we rejected that bias policy. And so we have a history of standing up to this for these kind of principles.
Was there any, Cleish, was there any potential sanction from the National Boy Scouts to your Boy Scout troop?
No, I'm not involved enough to know because I don't serve on committees yet. What I understood is that our regional board has insulated us and protected us.
Now, Chris, got a Chris here. Chris, you founded an organization which has been very active in this. To your knowledge, has the Boy Scouts ever basically come down to a troop and say, you admit gay boys and therefore, or have a gay scoutmaster, and therefore we're going to take your franchise away from you?
Excuse me. Actually, just within the last couple of weeks, there was a PAC who had a non-discrimination statement on their website, and the organization did come in and force them to take it down and did threaten to revoke their charter.
So a PAC being a Cub Scout troop.
Yeah, a Cub Scout PAC. So it can happen.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. Well, Cleish, thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Bye now.
Bye. Let's go to Dr. Ray, which says here is executive producer of Homo Radio. Dr. Ray, welcome.
Well, what a pleasure it is to be on with you this afternoon. I am such an admirer of Chris. We've had him on our show. We've had the distinct honor and privilege of having Chris numerous times on Homo Radio on WRPI. I have serious, serious concerns about this message. First and foremost, any piece of the pie is better than none. So, you know, we'll put out that first, but as someone who has done numerous suicide interventions with gay youth, if you've ever sat at a table and looked eye to eye with a student who, you know, wants to end his life because of a multiplicity of reasons, one of which is that he's in the Boy Scouts and they're not accepting him, you realize the stakes and how high they are here. This message is, it's good and it's not so good. I mean, it's going to send a mixed message to many students because they're going to wonder, you know, where do I go now? I like Chris's observation that you could emigrate to another troop. The problem is the reality of it and what kind of a message does it send to that child. A previous caller mentioned the multiplicity of illnesses that come out in gay youth, and Dr. Bill Buffy, if you Google it, has come out with a paper within the last year to the American Medical Association indicating the number of asthmatics, the number of physical maladies that are so common in the young gay male community. And I'm very uneasy with what happened. I want to cheer for it, and I'm glad it's come front and center. But there's one side effect that many people who don't work with gay youth may not pick up, and that is they're going to be under the spotlight. You can't hide anymore as a gay youth. I mean, I'm 64 years old, and in my time, if you were gay, and I realized it very early on, could, you know, kind of run off and hide, be quiet. Now with the technology and the gay media sites, you cannot manage to, you know, hide behind a curtain or crawl in a corner. It just doesn't happen. And I wanted Chris to expound upon that, if he
okay.
could, please.
All right. Dr. A, Chris, you want to?
you know, Dr. A, it's great to hear from you again. I definitely agree that it is a mixed message, and so the Inclusive Scouting Network is not ready to pack up our bags and say, hey, we're done. We accomplished what we came here for. excuse me. But, you know, it's definitely a step in the right direction.
But isn't it going to be harder for you, Chris, to instead of just taking on a national organization, to now ferret out the various troops that are doing this discrimination?
Well, that's an interesting point. One of our main strategies is we have this patch we call the Inclusive Scouting Award, and it mimics the adult award knots that you wear as an adult scout leader. And it has two strands. One is a rainbow, and the other is purple and silver to represent the religious discrimination at the BSA. Still has, and this policy does not address.
Could you explain the religious thing to me, because I'm not sure I'm following.
To be a Boy Scout, you have to be religious in some way. So you have
in other words, you have to believe in God.
Yes, okay. A religion. And many people take that as the Christian religion. They are open to other religions, even Buddhism. But
if you say you're an atheist, no good.
Correct. Right. You have to believe in something, some higher power, Mother Nature, what have you.
Yeah.
That is the other part of our mission is to stop discrimination based on religion, because the scouting movement is a worldwide movement, and that aspect of it is not required in many of the other countries where there is scouting. It's just here in the U.S. where they have this policy. So, you know, with the Inclusive Scouting Award, you know, we'll continue to distribute them to people who are supportive, and to make so those people are known, saying, hey, I support Inclusive Scouting. And eventually, you know, they'll help to bring around the others who are not inclusive.
Well, Dr. Ray, we're going to tune in your program on WRPI. We thank you very much. It's Dr. Ray's producer of Homo Radio, and you can hear it on WRPI in our listening area. Thanks for calling. Appreciate
it. Thank you.
Yeah, bye. Let's go to Jay in Stockbridge. Welcome back, Jay.
Yeah, I'm not sure how sexuality factors into being a scout. I'd just like to say I'm totally opposed to their position. I think that might be a private thing and maybe a fine print thing in their constitution. But I also would support a boycott for the scouts and maybe start a new group. But, yeah, I'm just not sure how sexuality would factor into being a scout and how that would become a point of contention.
Okay, Chris?
You know, when you're active in the program, sexuality doesn't really come forth. It's not really part of the program, but it's something that does come out. Like in James Dale, for instance, he's the one that went to the Supreme Court. He wasn't out in scouts. He participated in the program, but he was also participating in a campus pride type group, and it was in the paper, and that's how he was outed. So his sexuality didn't have anything to do with Boy Scouts, but it came into scouts because of there was publicity for something not to do with scouts. So while I agree that there's no sexual component to BSA, you know, your life is, especially in the digital world we live in, is not, you know, siloed out like that.
Jay, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye.
Let's go to Ed in Rotterdam. Ed in Rotterdam, you're on.
Yes. I just want to share, my son is gay, and he was in a Boy Scout troop that belonged to, a Catholic church, and he got his Eagle Scout about 5 years ago, and I don't think the leaders actually knew he was gay. Maybe they figured it out near the end, or just as he got his award. But he was a very well adjusted person, and they liked him very much. And he ended up going to BU, and he got his degree, and now he's working out in Boston as a researcher and Joshlin Diabetes Center.
Okay, now, Ed, in all due respect to you, what are you telling us in terms of your perspective on this decision?
Well, I think it's a good decision. What really puzzles me is, you know, man is so advanced when it comes to technology and et cetera. But when you look at, you know, man's attitude towards war, towards racism, towards, people that are gay, I just don't understand. We're, like, still back in the dark ages.
Well, but don't you think this represents some progress?
Yes, I do. It's a good step, but it's going to take time because it depends on people, you know. Some people are just not going to accept this.
No, that's true.
You know,
that's
and,
true, but it's true of everything. It's true of guns. It's true of this.
Right,
you know,
right.
It
and
takes
I
time.
Think, but yeah, no, I'm glad that they, you know, that they came out with it. And my son, you know, shows, hey, you know, you can be gay, you can be in the Scouts, and you can be a well-balanced person,
sure.
Do very well. He was liked by everyone. And, you know, just because a person is gay doesn't mean,
no.
You know, they're different from anybody else,
okay,
you know?
Okay, Ed, I'm sorry to cut you off. We're going to have to take a break now, but we thank you for calling. You know, congratulations on raising a great son. Appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. Okay, bye. Yeah.
Support for WAMC comes from the Albany Academy and Albany Academy for Girls, single-gender education for boys and girls for nearly 200 years. Informational lunch session Thursday, February 7th from noon to 1:30 p.m. albanyacademies.org. Hildene, the Lincoln Family Home, Manchester, Vermont. Historic home, Pullman car, museum store, and walking trails open daily year-round. 9:30 to 4:30, hildene.org. The Community Hospice, offering care and support to seriously ill nursing home residents and to patients who want to remain in their own homes. communityhospice.org. And the Agricultural Stewardship Association, helping people conserve farms and forests in Washington and Rensselaer counties. agstewardship.org.
Our amazing Associate News Director, Patrick Donges, and producer of this program, The Real Boss, is here. What do you got for us, Patrick?
Hi, Alan. Pamela on Facebook says, I think the BSA should grow a spine and require all troops to accept all kids. And Kelly on Facebook says, in gentle support of one caller, it has been my understanding that the majority of male pedophiles identify as heterosexual, and cites the American Psychiatric Association and the Association of Gay and Lesbian Psychiatrists as sources for that information.
Well, Patrick Donges, thank you so much for joining us and reading that out.
Thank
appreciate
you, Alan.
And anybody else who wants to get to us could do what?
Anybody else who wants to join us online, you can post comments at the bottom of today's show page on the Vox Pop section of our website, wamc.org/VoxPop. You can comment below today's Vox Pop wall post on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WAMC Radio. Or, of course, you can tweet your questions and comments at WAMC Vox Pop.
Thank you, Patrick Donges.
Thanks, Alan.
Appreciate it. Okay, let's go to Gordon in Pittsfield. Gordon in Pittsfield. You're on, Gordon.
Yes. I'd just like to mention that my grandfather was a Boy Scout master up in Vermont. He had Troop 1. He got the Silver Beaver Award for being a Boy Scout master for 50 years. And at that point, scouting was 50 years old. And he had a boy in his troop that was gay. And it wasn't a problem in his troop. My father was a Boy Scout master also, and I know this is a very unusual thing that a Boy Scout master should let something like this go, but I feel so happy that we as a culture are finally coming a little bit more out of the dark ages. I feel discrimination against gays is similar to burning witches at the stake and many other things that have happened throughout the years that we have gradually come to accept. And we need to accept each other as who we are, and I think the Boy Scout is one of the finest organizations that has always accepted people as they are. Of course, not all scout troops are like that. in different parts of the country.
Precisely.
They, of course, have different policies.
Precisely. Chris?
Well, there was a time in the Boy Scout history where it was an all-white organization. So the Boy Scouts are open to change, but they're like a very large cruise ship. They're not going to just take a turn and move forward. They have to do it gradually. So they tend to follow the social issues, maybe even decades beyond.
But I was citing this group, the Cancer Women Foundation, which got themselves involved in a way they shouldn't have, and the money stopped coming in, and they had to turn around and renounce their position. Is that not true? You think with the Boy Scouts now that as long as they discriminate, there will be people who don't give them money?
Oh, I believe that's definitely a very large component of why the policy change is suddenly coming. They just lost some very large donors to the national organization, and by this policy, what it does is it allows the national group to receive funding from groups who will not fund discriminatory groups, even though local groups may still discriminate. So it's kind of, a backdoor deal here, so they can get their national funding.
Interesting.
But the local groups, like let's say an LDS church, who have been very vocal about keeping the policy, can still discriminate.
Well, that's really a good answer. Gordon, thank you for calling. Appreciate it.
Well, it's just so good to see an organization like the Boy Scouts that is so important in our society for teaching kids about the woods and things to be able to evolve. That is a powerful organization.
It's true. Thank you, Gordon. Appreciate
thank you.
It. You know, Chris, my troop, which was an incredible place. There were three meetings a week. Three meetings a week. Yeah, there was a troop meeting, there was a patrol meeting, and then there was a compulsory hike every weekend. And let me tell you, you spent a lot of time with all of this. It was an amazing experience.
Definitely.
Okay, let's go to Jill in Waterford. Okay, Jill, you're on.
Hi, Alan. Hi, Chris. Chris, I just want to commend you for your effort and implore you to keep up the good work.
Oh, thank you.
Because while the previous caller was correct in that there are many changes occurring with the younger generation, unfortunately, I know firsthand that there are some kids in the younger generation that are being molded and taught by their parents who are not as tolerant. And they can easily, pick up the mantle and, try to poison the minds of other kids from the younger generation.
The king and I, you got to be taught to hate.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you
go. Hey, Jill, thanks for joining us again. Appreciate it very much. Let's go to Michael in West Stockbridge. Michael.
Yes, hello, Alan.
Hello, Michael.
Yes, I just wanted to say very briefly that this conversation all brought me back more than 35 years to when I was a freshman in college, because like a lot of open-minded people, my first conversations with openly gay men and women was after I went away to college.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, I thought it was an interesting factoid that every single gay man or openly gay man that I talked to back in those days told me that they had had their first homosexual experiences as Boy Scouts. Now, not having been a Boy Scout or gay, I kind of just filed that away as, another interesting thing to remember. But now that I'm hearing of all this going on now, it's just coming back and it's echoing.
But what are you telling us?
Well, basically, I just thought that apparently the anti-gay policies of the BSA were not very effective. They're about as effective as those abstinence pledges.
I feel you might be telling us
so
something
popular.
Else.
Chris, no, that's well, not it. I'm not implying that they're promoting a homosexual lifestyle. It's just that, hey, 10% of the population is gay. That's where the gay guys were meeting each
other.
Okay,
hey, Michael.
And
Michael,
it wasn't a very effective
Michael, thing. Let's go to the guest, Chris.
Well, One of the things that you remind me of is that, you know, not the sexual part, of course, but I worked at a local summer camp. My last 2 years there, I was program director. And my last summer, there were five other Eagle Scouts who were area directors. So basically, you know, supervisors of the smaller program areas were all gay Eagle Scouts like me. And we actually had one junior staff member, meaning someone under the age of 18, who was also a gay Eagle Scout. So we have six gay Eagle Scouts working at a local summer camp. And, you know, you gotta think that, you know, Eagle Scout is the highest rank that you can bestow upon a scout. It's, you know, you're the cream of the crop when you get there. And to say that you have five gay Eagle Scouts running this camp should say something. That,
well, what do you think it should say? That
the policy is just ridiculous. It's, you know, you're taking some of your best people and you're ostracizing them. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, traditionally a lot of gay men don't have families. I don't have, you know, children per se. So I might stay involved in Boy Scouts if I was allowed to help pass, you know, values on to the next generation. And perhaps maybe that's why, you know, there were more gay men in Boy Scouts. But we were also all college age, so we had nothing better to do. But, you know, it's, you know, we're already there. It's not that we're allowing people to come in. It's we're stopping people from getting kicked out.
Okay. Hey, Michael, thank you for the call. Appreciate it very much. Let's go to Judith and Saugerties on and try to get everybody in. Go ahead, Judith.
I'll try to be fast. Good. So my question is a legal question, which is I don't understand the Supreme Court decision that BSA is allowed to discriminate because it's a private organization. In the civil rights sit-ins, which was to end discrimination at private businesses. So the BSA and churches, they all get government money. They operate tax-free, which means that we taxpayers pay their taxes. They have no right to discriminate, private or not, and it can't be left up to individual scout troops to make that decision.
Okay, let's go to Chris. Stay right where you are, Judith. Go ahead.
You know, it's an interesting question. You know, the Boy Scouts have the right to discriminate the same way that someone can get kicked out of a church for whatever reason. They're allowed to define their own membership policies. Now, after the Supreme Court decision, they did lose a lot of public funding. And it started mostly in a local level. There were examples of a Sea Scout troop in San Diego who had a boat slip they were leasing from the city for free, and they lost it. In Philadelphia, the council there, Cradle of Liberty Council, their office was being leased from the city of Philadelphia for $1, and they were threatened. I don't recall what happened, but there was a battle over whether they were going to be even allowed to continue to stay there. So after the Supreme Court decision came out, there was a huge backlash with public money and private money.
Judith, thanks for your call. We appreciate it very much. Let's go to Kate in Chatham. Kate, you're on.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm sure that many kids have a good experience in Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts. Mm. That was not our experience. When my son was young, he joined a local Cub Scout group because some friends of his were in it, and I was happy to support that. I didn't know much about it. Certainly didn't know this. And he went to a few meetings, and one night I stayed on after I took him to the meeting. Several parents were there, and we sat in the back and listened. And I was absolutely appalled to find that the speaker that night was a trapper who was telling the boys with photographs about how to use leg traps and so forth. And I went out of there in shock. My son and I talked about it. And he was kind of horrified about it, too. And he decided, with my support, that he wasn't going back to that troop.
Okay, Kate, one second. Let's get to Chris. Chris?
You know, you make an interesting point. You know,
but wait. I haven't given you the PS or his insult. It turns out that my son is bisexual.
Right.
And if had we known it then, he would not have been welcomed in that group, whether he wanted to stay or not.
If he had told. If he had said he was bisexual.
He probably didn't know it at that point. I
no,
mean,
but
he wasn't
if he
sure
had said
it,
he wouldn't have been welcome.
If he had said it,
yes,
certainly.
Right, okay.
Yes.
The program aspects of what happens at troop meetings, it's really, there is a guideline to the scouting program. I had never had a trapper come into any of my troop meetings, to speak about, you know, that particular thing. Certainly it's, it sounds like it's allowable within a program. That kind of content though, can be controlled by the troop committee, which is made up of parents
yes,
and the scoutmasters.
I guess I wasn't asking for your opinion about the trapper. My point is that I think there is a lot of freedom of troop leaders to plan their own programs, and I think there probably should be, but also to generate the atmosphere of the troop. And I am very cynical about the move of the Boy Scouts to change their policy on this. I think it has
okay,
to do
very
with
quickly,
money
Kate,
and public support.
Very quickly, Kate, why are you cynical?
Because I think they are doing it more for money
okay, that's enough.
Than they are.
That's
yep.
enough. You got it. Kate, there are five people behind you. We want to give everybody a chance.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Right. Let's go to Terrence in New Paltz. Terrence, you're on.
Hey there. I'm just wondering what's happening to the Scout law. In the 25 years since I've been a Boy Scout, I've watched them argue that morally straight meant not homosexual, which is not trustworthy. And now I'm watching this half-hearted attempt to resolve the issue, which is not at all brave. And I'm thinking maybe they should add hypocrisy to the Scout law and just be honest.
Chris?
That's kind of one of the points that we've been trying to make for the last 12 years is that this policy goes against the Scout law and the Scout oath. Now, many try to argue against us saying that morally straight means straight as in sexuality, which obviously when the Scout law was written, that word didn't mean that.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Thank you both. Let us go to Vincent in New Paltz. Vincent, you may well be the last call. Make it short. Go ahead.
Yeah, Alan, I support the rights of the Boy Scouts not to allow gays. Uh-huh. If, in fact, they are a private organization, why not? It's like having a private club where you don't allow blacks or you don't allow whites.
What about
in fact,
the, what
I'm
about
not listening to,
what about
I'm listening to the left here, which I happen to be. Once again, the censorship here in the United States is not from the right. It's apparently coming from the left
what,
in the guise of political correctness.
Vincent, what about Judith's point a little earlier that they're taking not-for-profit status and they're getting a break from the government?
If they are, in fact, listen, here's where I draw the line. If, in fact, you're accepting these things, then you can't discriminate.
Okay.
However, If I am strictly based on private funding, I can discriminate against whoever.
Okay, you
broke
that. Coming around the third time. Thank you, Vincent. Appreciate
right,
it very
okay.
much. Yeah,
great. Thanks.
You all know the rules. Comes around more than once. That's it. We really have run out of time, and I am so sorry. Paul from Albany called and says he supports bipartisan deals like this. Should set an example. Mike from Granby, Massachusetts, doesn't understand criticism of a private organization. That's just what we heard from Vincent. And now Rick from Worthington, Massachusetts, altruistic move by the Boy Scouts. So there you go. We're out of time. I want to thank everyone who called in, and I do apologize to those left on the line. Thanks to Chris Hayes of the Inclusive Scouting Network for joining us today. Chris, you got a phone number, something people can get to you or an email address?
Yep. They can reach us at www.inclusivescouting.net, or you can find us on Facebook.
Okay. Support for the Vox Pop comes from NBT Bank, offering trust and fiduciary services, investment management, and retirement planning for individuals and businesses, netbank.com. New York State Tobacco-Free Community Partners, working to help parents prevent and reduce youth smoking with prevention programs to counter tobacco marketing and help save lives. New York State Tobacco-Free Community Partners at smokefreecapital.org and the Tang Teaching Museum and Art Gallery of Skidmore College, providing exhibits, public events, and educational programs for audiences of all ages. Colleges for the Capital District and beyond, 518-580-8080. Thanks again, everyone, for joining us on the Vox Pop. Remember, the conversation continues online at wamc.org/VoxPop. Our engineer has been Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by Eric Krupke. Our producer is Patrick Donges. I'm Alan Chartok. Tomorrow on the show, more Pets and Vets with veterinarian Dr. Joseph Glennon. And before we go to the news update, I want to read you some news. As we started this program, there was $192,018.20 in the locked box going into the great fund drive. Anything you can do, put something in. That's what it's all about. I appreciate everybody calling. And now over to the theme and eventually to the news.